It is one of the most difficult things that we have to do today is to live in a society that does not have any absolutes. We live in a society where people all around us are wrestling for absolutes. There are no answers. And as people are wrestling for answers all around them, they are wrestling all around us. And you know what happens? We look at those same people and we're wrestling too. We're toiling with tension. And sometimes we don't know what to do. It's not an easy task to be a committed believer in a society where there are problems and troubles all around us this faces. The pressures and the tensions and the anxieties which face everybody from day to day is taking its toll, and it also takes its toll on those of us in the church. This message tonight is going to help us, because what we're going to do is dive right into the middle of a man's life who was faced with that kind of tension and anxiety. You know, there even comes a time in the life of the Christian when he sighs and says, "Lord, I'd rather be dead than be alive to face tomorrow." I don't know whether you've ever felt like that. Sometimes you feel like, "Lord, I'd just rather be dead than have to face my friends and face the world tomorrow." Well, you're not alone. Somebody else in the Bible that felt that way too. What I want to do on Sunday nights is try to present messages that not only draw you into it now, but I want you to be able to agree with the pastor tonight that you too are one of those persons with anxieties, with tensions, with frustrations, and at times you say, "Yeah, sometimes I go, it would be good to be dead right now." Sometimes I really feel that way when, I mean, I just figure, listen, I can't face tomorrow. You know when I really feel that? Listen to some of my, I was talking with you, Elvin Jr., earlier. And man, I'm going to tell you, young man, it is rough. Deadlines. I received a telephone call here tonight, and someone says, "Someone will be by, and now is your opportunity to really give the claims of the gospel, and I can set it up." I had to say, "No." I says, "I got to spend all day home tomorrow. That's the only day that I don't do anything." I says, "I have to spend all day home tomorrow back in my little cubbyhole in my study, stacked up here with books, reading. I'll be home, but if you call me, the message phone will answer you. I will even have the message phone turned down. I don't even want to hear who calls. Maybe when I finish one paper, one assignment, I may listen. Maybe I'll tell my family if it's an emergency, call once and leave a message, and then call next time, then I may turn it up." That's how thick it gets when you just have to say no to everything and everybody. That's an anxious time. And sometimes when it comes time for finals, and Elvin Jr., let me tell you, son, man, I'm going to tell you, midterm last time, I just out failed the midterm. The professor came and sat down next to me, and he says, "Coleman, you all right?" I says, "Hey, man, I'm all right." He says, "You didn't do very good." I says, "Listen, this is pressure." But after a lot of more study and a lot of more prayer, I raised that final grade up to a B. It was hard. It was rough. But I felt like saying, "Gee, why can't I just be dead today?" If you noticed some of the lousy sermons that I preached last semester, that was when I was under tension. You can tell when your pastor's under tension. He gets up in the sermons, don't have the oomph that they should have. So now what I'm trying to do is balance all that load and preach well to you. But we, like the man in this lesson, are going to be wrapped up and called to weigh some alternatives between life and death. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. And we're going to see about a man that is weighing some alternatives between life and death, some real alternatives. I mean, he had to wrestle with issues. And in this particular scripture, you've read it maybe 200 or 300 times, but I hope that you can see tonight that you are not alone in your wrestling match with it. Beginning with verse 19. Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'm not even going to read the verses through. We'll just take them one after time. I want to preach these messages a little bit differently to you tonight. We, like Paul, have to weigh the alternatives of life and death. We see him speaking confidently about his situation, beginning in verses 19 and 24. I know this shall turn out for my deliverance. I'm reading it from the NASB. In the King James, you might find a little confusion in his words. Paul here is talking about people. I want to be dead, and I want to be alive. Jackie, this man is saying, hey, this is the bottom line. Life is rough. He says, for I know this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, I want to share something with you here. Paul was in jail. He was in jail at this time. As a matter of fact, if you read on down through the rest of this book, Paul is saying, when I get out, I'll come and see you and help you. It was James Paul's expectation to leave that Roman jail cell and help build up the church at Philippi. That is what his true expectation was. This man was caught between life and death in a real dilemma, just like some of us are. Now, our situations may not be in a jail cell, but you may be locked up with something else, real depressed and down in heart. Look what Paul said. He spoke confidently about his situation. Paul says, whatever the outcome, salvation is mine. I want you to know that Paul is saying, whatever happens to me, I'm going to be a winner. He wasn't a positive thinking person, Jackie. He knew that whatever his situation, he'd come out on top. You might say, how? The man was in jail, locked up, all messed up, no freedom. Didn't have freedom to. He says, whatever the outcome, salvation is mine. Look at verse 19. For I know that this shall be for my deliverance. He's saying, my being locked up is for my deliverance. Jackie, you might say, how can he say that? How can bad times be good times? The man says, I'm going to tell you a fact of life. That whatever happens to me, it's good. I remember years ago when your dad was working out of the shop, something happened and he lost an eye. I had just become a believer. And I saw your dad here today and he spoke with me. It was for his good. You might say, how's that? God knows. Paul knew that. Paul was saying that if my condition provides life from physical bondage, that's all right. Or if my situation calls for a human sacrifice, that's all right. I want you to know that whatever you're going through in your life right now, you should take the same attitude that Paul took. What was he doing? He was weighing the alternatives of life and death. Weighing them at all times. I was talking with another sister. I called her to see how she was. She said she's real sick. Jackie said she thought she had cancer or something. All over again. I said, no. Don't freak out on me. Was freaking out because she was sick. I said, no, sweetheart, don't freak out. It's going to be all right. But she says, Pastor John, this hurts. I said, yes. There's going to be some things in life that are going to hurt you. Paul says, I have a unique hope and a pledge of security. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I have an expectation, and my expectation, Queen Esther, leads to hope. Locked up. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how it looks, Aaron Blake. I don't care how it looks with physical eyes. Don't look at physical eyes. Look spiritually. This man was in jail, locked up, messed up. And he says, I have a unique hope. I have a pledge of assurity. Paul says this hope is a hope and a personal expectation. What is yours? You know, when you run into a life of defeats, when you fall down, that's why God gave you knees. You're going to fall down on your knees and he gives you the capacity to do what? To get up. A lot of times when we fall down in life, we stay down. And we're going to see in this text where Paul was down and he says, hey, listen, I want to be dead. This is rough. Locked up for preaching the gospel. He also says that this hope would never bring shame to the gospel. Look at 20b. And he says, that I have, that I shall not be put to shame in anything. Look at your life right now, right where you are. You might be feeling down in the dumps. Paul says, I'm not going to be put to shame in anything because I have an eternal hope on the inside. Stop looking at outside situations. Whatever happens in your life. Let me go back to that classroom experience when the professor comes and sits next to you in class. Queen knows what I'm talking about. When you're in graduate school and the professor has to come and sit next to you, everybody else in the classroom sees it. Now, right then I could have said, oh man, don't come and sit next to me. You know, these guys, like when I hand out their exams or quizzes up there, I give them their personal quiz. I don't go and sit down next to any of them unless they're doing really poor. And if I ever do that, the other guys are saying, what's he doing talking to him? Well, that happened to me. Did you know that when the guy sat down, I says, don't worry, I'll be all right. See, I have a higher hope than where I am right now. And that's what Paul was trying to get his audience as he was writing to understand. See, also we see that Paul was resting in this hope, and he knew that that can only bring him strength. He says, as he continues, but that with all boldness, Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body. Look how bold he got. In jail, locked up, fallen, James, messed up, no way out. He says, I'm bold. How many of you fall down and stumble, and you give up? Don't give up. Don't give up. Young people, don't give up. Aaron Blake, giving you a word from the Lord, wait on the Lord in everything. Don't give up. Alvin Jr., wait on him in everything. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. That's what the Apostle Paul had to do. He says, listen, I have hope, I'm gaining courage, and I know that Christ is going to be exalted in my body. He also says, resting in this hope can only bring me strength. And that's what he sees. Resting in that hope can only bring us strength also. Paul says the issue of life is an issue of life and death. He says, whatever comes, Christ shall be exalted. If I die in this jail, Christ shall be exalted. If I live and leave, Christ shall be exalted. What is your hope? Paul speaks also personally about the tension of his test in verses 21 through 24. He speaks about the true tensions of his life. How many of you Christians are like this? Peter Blake, you may say, hey, listen, I'm saved. I'm in the Lord's hand. Nothing will ever happen to me. You keep living. You keep living. Some things are going to happen. Now, that's some tension. And Paul says, what I wrote to the church in Galatia, I also share with you. You know what he wrote in Galatians 2:20? Why don't we go there and see what he wrote in 2:20, and then you'll get a better idea of what he's trying to say here in this verse. Because if you don't see it in 2:20, you won't see it in this one. Paul makes that statement, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look what he says in our text in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He talks about James' attention. He says, if I live on in Jesus, it's all right. But if I die, he says, that's cool. You know, I'm preaching to you people like this because I'm going to tell you something. Some things are going to come in your life, and you're going to think that God, no, you need to do just what Paul is doing right here. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. He speaks about the tension. He speaks about it. He says that his will was centered in God's will. If it's his will to live, I'll live. If it's his will to die, I'll die. Is yours like that? There's where victory comes, people. There's where victory comes. When I'm driving 4 days a week, going to school in a 13-year-old Cadillac, I can't think about, is this tire going to pop off today? I can't think of, is my house going to be burned down when I get home? Can't do that. When I leave everything and leave, it has to be left just the way it is. That's where it has to be in your life. Leave it with the Lord. Paul says that. His will was centered on God's will. His purpose was God's purpose. Paul says, I'm being torn apart by two great loves. Look at verses 22 and 24. He says, but if I'm to live in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. Now, this is an interesting verse, because he's being torn apart. He says, I want to be with the Lord, but I also want to be with you. Now, this is where some of us are right now. We want to do just the right things and be the right kind of person and everything, but it isn't quite working right now. And that's when we sigh, Jackie, and say, gee, I wish I was dead. How can I look around? I'm never going to get anywhere. Paul had the same kind of tension you have. And look at how he dealt with it. He says, I'm torn apart by these great loves. His priority was to be with Christ in verse 23, and then his personal necessity was to remain with them and teach them in 23 and 24. Look what he says. He says, but I am hard pressed in both directions. It's a better translation. When he says that I'm hard pressed, he says, man, listen, the tension is great. I want to get out of here and leave and go to heaven. And I know I can't leave and go to heaven because he has something that he wants me to do. If I continue to do this, there is a blade waiting to take my head off of my body. God, get me out of this mess. So he says, I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to part to be with Jesus, for that is very much better. Yet to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Now, how many of you feel like that? Gee, you know, I mean, I want to do right, but I also want to have some fun. Can't do them both. But God is saying, there's a time for you to have fun. Why don't you do the right first? Paul had the same kind of tension that Jesus had in Gethsemane. When he says, Lord, 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 let this cup pass. And then he says, no, I'll do it. Paul was feeling inadequate. That's what he was feeling. Totally inadequate, just like we are. You know, a lot of people say, well, you need to go to a psychologist. You need to go to a counselor. You need to go to the Bible. A book is a book of psychology. Paul was struggling with the tensions of life. We see it right here in these particular verses. He was self-centered, but yet he was in trouble. And verse 24, just listen, he says, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. See, he's wrestling with that tension. I want to die. I want to leave here. I want to be through with ministry. I mean, I'm tired. I'm in jail. It's cold in this cell. Why? Just, Lord, come and take me. And then he says, can't do it. Can't do it. Because he wants to get out and see them. That's what he wants to do. And he's arguing with it. Third and lastly, we see that he speaks progressively as he contemplates God's purpose in verses 25 and 26. I mean, look at this man's progressive ongoing. This man is facing issues. He discusses the tension. He speaks confidently about the situation. And now he speaks progressively as he contemplates God's purpose. Here's a man that hasn't given up, Randy. Here's a man that is facing life's tension and saying, it's cool. That's why when the professor came and sat down next to me, I just said, hey, it's going to be all right. I didn't freak off. I didn't come home, Carlton, and get mad at Lucy. I didn't come home, Jackie, and start screaming at the girls. I came home and looked at my midterm and tore it up and put it in the trash and said, that's not like me. Says, I got to do better than that. I didn't give up. And this is what Paul does as he progressively contemplates God's purpose. Paul says, regardless of the outward situation, that means my chains, my imprisonment, he's saying, I'm looking forward to participate in your progress, in your joy, and in your faith. Look at verse 25. He says, and convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for the progress of joy and faith. Did he do it? No. He died. But did you see what he said? I know I'm going to get out and continue on and help you people. He didn't get out. He faced the tension. He says, Lord, I want to be dead and be with you. He didn't know that the Lord was going to say, okay, I'll take you. The time is right. The Lord was saying, you can't do anymore. That's it. That's as far as you can go. You know, James, sometimes we talk about the late pastor. J.B. Stanley went as far as he could go in this church, far as he can go. He did exactly what he can do. God took him. When I do exactly what I can do, God's going to take me, put somebody else here. Did you know that that's the way it is on this planet? He has his man for that time, and he's going to remove that man when he's ready to put some. Moses only took them as far as they could go, and then God removed Moses and put Joshua in. Paul says in verse 25, I'm convinced of this, that I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy and faith. That's what he said. He was looking forward to participate in their progress and their joy and in their faith. Paul says, I want everybody to shout for joy as you see Christ working in me. Look at verse 26. So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So we see Paul said, I'm coming to you. I'm getting out of here. God's going to release me. I have all the confidence in the world. God didn't will it. Paul did not lose heart. You all think that your tension is great? Look at the tension of this beloved apostle. Looking forward to get out. You know, I think about my life and your life, because I don't know how any of us in this room are going to leave this life. I don't know how we're going to leave here. But one of these days, Jackie, some of us are going to go into the doctor, and the doctor's just going to say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Please, people, don't start crying. That's the Lord Jesus saying, that's it. I'm coming to take you. Cry because of the loss of the loved one, but don't cry because they're leaving here, because you know what? You go right on back to Philippians chapter 1. It says, I'm in tension. I want to leave here, but yet I want to remain here to be with you. That's what he understood. So Paul was saying that whatever God brought into his life, that he was ready to meet the challenge to receive it. Are you? Whatever God is going to bring in your life, are you ready to meet the challenge? Challenges are going to be hard. They're going to slap you right in the face. Going to try to knock you down, Jackie O. Knock you down. And you're going to get right back up and say, I can do all things in Christ that strengtheneth me. Paul was a satisfied man. He was living. And even if it were dying, he weighed the alternatives. And at the end, the blade outweighed his freedom. You got to know that. And then the test provides for us a lesson tonight, that we too must weigh the situations of our lives. We have to count the cost, and we will pay the price. Look what Paul said, I have confidence. Can we, like Paul, say, it doesn't matter? I hope so, because if we cannot, like Paul, say, it does not matter, then it does. And we have come up wanting. Now we come to the table tonight to thank God for the tension and the anxiety and the dilemma in our lives.